The first reading is Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Matthew 28, verses 1 to 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Friends, I wonder if you've ever been camping on a windy, stormy night. I have, and it certainly left me feeling untethered, quite literally. The guy ropes unloosed. The fly, well, it flew. The tent collapsed. The stores and supplies were blown to the wind, quite literally untethered. Now, this Easter, I've come as... well, with the great privilege of being a professional Christian, someone whose life as an adult has had the privilege of being set aside to pay attention to deepening the Christian life and walking alongside others. It's a great privilege, a privileged life. And Easter time, that time between Lent and or today, the great celebration of Easter, is usually a time that is very busy, especially this last week between Palm Sunday and Easter Day. A very busy time when it's almost like one's on train tracks. We're going somewhere. All of our activities are leading to a great point. Yet this Easter, I've been left feeling somewhat untethered. The usual practices are not possible. And it's directly attributable, isn't it, to this COVID-19 pandemic, the swirling winds of uncertainty, the sorrow, and frankly, the fear are very strong. And they're intensified by the fact that they coincide with Easter. Usually that great celebration of life. But how do we celebrate life in a time like this? And friends, that's why it is fantastic that today our reading is from Matthew chapter 28. Because in this reading, we actually begin with the nature of fear. In this one short episode, we get a window into the very worst. We see at least two elements that is common to fear, whether it's this fear in Matthew 28 or whether it's the fear we feel or fear more generally and shed abroad. We see the shattered hopes. Can you imagine being Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, having pinned your life on the hope that Jesus gave, this new world that he was bringing in, this new way of life that he was showing, the promises of connection with God that he had given, the fact that you'd left aside your usual activities, you'd shut up shop and left home, to see it come to a shuddering conclusion only a couple of days earlier. The shattered hopes. And when we peer into the depths of our own heart and examine our own fears, we see that shattered hopes often lay behind what we fear. The worry that those things that we have invested so much time and energy into would be left as so much wreckage strewn across our life. Yet we also see another element wrapped up in this story, and that's the speed of change. Although as we work through the Gospels, we can see the storm clouds gathering over Jesus' life. That final week lurched from people crying, "Hosanna, here is God's King come to save," to, in the space of 12 or 24 hours, Jesus being tried before a kangaroo court and executed in the most horrible and cruel manner. The fortunes seemed to change with extraordinary speed. And, well, we see something else as well as we penetrate into this passage. The speed with which the world changed for the guards made them fearful. They were there strong and in control when all of a sudden this messenger, this angel from heaven, came and changed everything. So it was not simply the shattered dreams, the shattered hopes that created the fear, but it was the speed with which they changed that contributed to this fear, the fear that was swirling around the beginning of this story. And friends, I wonder whether that resonates with you. That untethered feeling that, well, are we facing shattered hopes, shattered dreams that have come crumbling very quickly? Now, it's actually helpful for us to realise, to remember that what we feel now is actually what many feel every day. What we in our generally safe, secure and comfortable lives feel now is actually what many feel every day, whether it's due to hunger or famine or corruption rife amongst those who should be leading, or whether it's because people are tossed and turned through war or persecution. And so it's a helpful reminder of the inequity in our world. But that's not all that the story has. Not only do we see the nature of fear, we then begin to see a range of responses. We see the brave ones, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, acting against all appearances, acting in hope, even if the hope was unclear. The brave ones, venturing out. Not yet 3 full days after Jesus had been hauled up and executed. We see the dead men, those soldiers, the ones who were big and strong, the ones who enjoyed a priority place in society, the ones who were used to bossing others around, were rendered as dead men. They were the worst hit. So if on the one hand we have the brave ones venturing out, and on the other we have the dead men, the ones who looked strong on the outside but quailed on the inside, we can't forget also the absent ones, the other disciples, you know, the ones who let Mary and Mary go out on their own. And theirs is an apathetic sort of fear. But we do get a hint that even for those ones whose fear left them apathetic, that there is a way back. As in verse 10, we get a hint of the inclusion that these apathetic ones, these absent ones, would have with the brave ones. When Jesus told Mary and Mary, "Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee because they will see me too." So if in this passage we see the nature of fear and get to see a range of responses, it also shows us the antidote to fear. Now, friends, I hesitate to say that. How can I talk of an antidote when the valley is still deep, when the path is still black? I hear you say, "Matt, what are you saying? What you're saying is like whistling in the dark to keep your spirits up. It's unreal. It's even insulting." Well, friends, hear me carefully. I'm not saying that the circumstances that we are in will change quickly. I'm not saying that all will be smooth. Indeed, I'm not even saying that we will necessarily experience unusual joy in this time. But I am saying that even if we stop at verse 10 and don't jump too quickly to verse 16, you know that famous passage where Jesus gathers all of the disciples together and sends them out on their grand mission. Even if we stop at verse 10, which is actually a very helpful thing to do, because those absent disciples and even Mary and Mary didn't jump directly to the great joy of being sent out in Jesus' name. Even if we stop at verse 10, Jesus leaves Mary and Mary, the brave ones, with a challenge. Now, that challenge was begun by the angel in verse 6, where the angel said to Mary and to Mary, "He is not here, for he has been raised." And this is where we go from the general and the common to the very specific, because what we've observed so far is general and part of the common experience of life. And in the common experience of life, we have many good strategies for dealing with fear, psychological strategies, physiological strategies, or sociological ones, how to gather together as groups to love and support each other, or even political strategies for dealing with fear. But they only hold the promise of coping. They're helpful, but they're limited. Yet here in this story, we see death confronted and death defeated. And friends, this is our antidote to fear. In this story, we see big death confronted. And at the head of the empty tomb, the angel says, "He is not here, for he has been raised." And friends, that stands as a great hope for the future as we face our big death. But it also stands as guidance for the present as we walk through multitudes of little deaths. All of those things which show the shadow of sin in our world, everything that is an artifact of us falling short of everything that God made, of which coronavirus and this extraordinary pandemic is a great example. Here, at the head of the empty tomb, Mary and Mary were given all of the equipment they needed to face a life strewn with these little deaths. For he is not here. He has been raised. So friends, in this untethered Easter, this Easter unlike any other that most of us will have experienced, this Easter where we haven't been able to celebrate in the ways that we would normally celebrate, I wonder where you will find the anchor for your soul. Whether it's confronting the big death or the myriad little deaths that are strewn across our way because of this great pandemic, where will you go to find an antidote to fear? Will it be at the head of that tomb where Mary and Mary were told, "He is not here, for he has been raised"? I hope that this Easter you will have the same response. In verse 8, they left the tomb quickly, yes, with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And then I hope also you will discover, as they did in verse 9, that suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Do not be afraid." Amen.